create bad consequences.
Blog
Whether it's verbal
radio.
Or physical, trash is trash, and only you have the power to put a lid on it. So don't allow yourself to become someone else's garbage can. This message about self-esteem is from your friends at WMUL.
Welcome to Be Heard Basketball with Thundering Herd Women's Basketball Head Coach Matt Daniel. Join us over the next 30 minutes as we discuss the previous Herd contests and preview the upcoming games.
Dribble drive out to Victor, three on the way. That was good. Now Skater Gore steps in front of the lane of the pass, takes it behind her back, drops it off to Leah Scott. Scott up off the glass and in.
Have a question for Coach Daniel? Call 855-345-4709 or tweet us at WMUL_sports with questions or comments.
What do you expect out of this group? You've got new faces along with a few that do return from last year.
I'm really excited about our roster with everybody that we have on it.
It's time to Be Heard with Coach Matt Daniel. Here's your host, James Collier.
And good evening. Welcome into another edition of Be Heard Basketball with Thundering Herd Women's Basketball Coach Matt Daniel. James Collier, your host. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of those listening out there in the Tri-State area on 88.1 FM in the Tri-State area, marshall.edu/WMUL on stream number one. Coach, this past Sunday up in the Charleston Civic Center, it was a tough-fought game. You come up on the losing end, losing 66-60, but one thing that you take away from this game, there was no lack of physicality from your team. You really set the tone, being physical from the word go, had opportunities to basically just roll up and go away, but you guys fought your way all the way back, came back from down 10 to make it one, but still just a little short at the end.
Yeah, you know, we were called for the first foul in the first possession.
11 seconds into the ball game.
I never dreamed that would be the case playing West Virginia, but apparently we were the more physical team. But, yes, you know, bottom line is we came up short. It was a great environment. It was a great atmosphere to be a part of, and the Marshall contingent was true. And I was really pleased with the environment, but I just hate that we came up short.
You go out early. You get a 9-2 early lead. WVU comes back. It's 13-11 Marshall after one quarter. What were some things that you liked in that first quarter and some things that you tried to make adjustments going into the second?
There was no back down. You know, there just wasn't any back down in us, and we were taking, you know, for the most part, I thought, good shots. And when we took good shots, we typically had good results. And when we didn't take good shots, the result wasn't so kind. So, I liked the fact that we were up 13-11, and most importantly, and I liked where our head was at.
You go into the locker room, you're down three. First time this season Marshall's trailed at the half, and the first time this team had faced adversity like that. How do you feel the team dealt with it? What adjustments did you say at the half that had to be made to be able to come back out and stand toe-to-toe with the Mountaineers?
I thought that they threw a pretty good punch at us in the second quarter, and I thought we tried to withstand it, you know, pretty well, and I thought we came out the second half, and you know, there was no lackluster, effort or focus. I thought we could have executed better out of timeouts defensive rebounding out of the zone. We played a few possessions of zone, and if we'd have done that, I felt like we'd have done a little bit better, had a little bit better success coming out of halftime.
Third quarter, WVU pushes it out to a 10-point lead, and this is where I saw some of the players kind of losing mental focus, trying to fight away the adversity. But rather than going away, they fight back, cut it down to one. It was still a 3-point lead or a 6-point lead after three. How did you like how your team responded after being down 10 and then especially closing out the game with a 14-14 fourth quarter?
Well, we feel like we can score it, and we didn't score it great the other day, but, you know, some of that had to do with West Virginia and the style of play. I think we've got a resilient bunch. I think that they showed that they can be resilient whether we do or not. I think that they showed in that third quarter that they can be, and I think it was a great quarter for us to build on, even though we got beat three in the third quarter.
I have a question for Coach Daniel that's on the phone lines, 855-345-4709. You can also tweet us, call your SZ Live with questions and comments. we talked about this before the show. There's not too many nights you're going to have Nerisha Victor and Shayna Gore go 5 of 23.
Mm-hmm.
You have those two shoot on that number that evening. You still find a way to put up 60 of the team. That says what this team is capable of doing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think if they would have been 5 of 18, you know, where there's five less shots, you know, I think that probably Riri more than Shayna forced the issue a little bit, being the point guard spot. You know, I think if that shot comes from somewhere else, I mean, you're only talking about two or three field goals the way we play. We went on a span in the fourth quarter where we didn't score for 8 minutes. You know, you're talking about a different ball game. We cut it to 4 and decently late in the game, maybe 2. Got it to 1, and I mean we were in it the whole way. And then we had to be a little bit more aggressive and had to foul a bit there at the end, and they were able to stretch it out.
Yeah, you get it to 1, and that was when you go into that 8-minute lull. You just seemingly never could get over that bump, and that's kind of a part of a rebuilding of a team. You don't have that killer instinct of knowing how to try to get back over that hump and put the game away.
Yeah, there's a little bit of youth involved in that and inexperience, but that's why you play. I mean, that's why that game was the right game at the right time of the year for us. And now we've got to shift focus immediately to a completely different style of play. And St. Francis, it's going to be more like the Morehead State game than it is the West Virginia game.
We'll talk about St. Francis coming up in just a little bit. One thing that I noticed in this game, you got WVU's big girl down underneath, Lene Montgomery, 6'5". You're giving up 4 inches to the tallest person on the floor. She quickly picks up her third foul. You guys go right back at her, pick up her fourth. She has to go to the bench. How big was that in the momentum of allowing you to get back in that game?
Well, I think it was important, you know, from a standpoint of we're capable. I think it sent the right message of hey, we're here too. And, you know, we didn't have some whistles, some plays go our way, but I'm sure West Virginia doesn't feel like they did too. You know, we were able to withstand some things. They had to take her out because of matchup problems. We never subbed because of matchup problems. We subbed because of foul trouble, but not because we were worried about a matchup.
Well, one play that that caused her fourth personal foul was out of an inbound coming to Leah. Leah really took it upon herself to make the defense come to her, using that quick pump fake, get her off her feet, and then she goes right into the chest, and that's just textbook basketball.
Yeah, and we talked about it all week. You know, with Montgomery in there, there was going to be a presence in there, and we were going to have to shot fake and then take it up through their chin. She was fortunate to be on the right side of that play and put them in foul trouble.
Chelsea Romero off the bench, 7 points, 8 boards in 24 minutes, still working with that shoulder, but she was so physical underneath and did a fabulous job working on Montgomery.
Chelsea's very capable you know, I like that she's on her roster. And when she's tuned in, she's as good as she may be as good a post player as there is in the league this year, her and Taliqua both. You know, as long as we can continue to keep her dialed in that way, then she's going to be successful.
Well, Taliqua Hamilton, she sets up the game's first points with her first three-pointer. She gets in early foul trouble, picks up 2 quick personal fouls, has to sit much of the set or the first half. She comes back in, gets those 4 personal fouls, has to go to the bench, and she's in tears when she goes to the bench. But when she returned to the game, she was a much different player.
Yeah, and her tears were – I mean, she was so frustrated because she wanted to perform. I mean, her family was there. She had graduated the day before. It was just a big weekend for her, and the kid from Huntington, that game means something, man. You know, we talked about that before, you know, I hate that she was in tears and that frustrated, but I can understand. You know, I can understand that, and I thought she regrouped and got back and got ready to roll on the fourth.
She had probably one of the biggest plays of that ball game. It was a box out to where she was fighting through 2 people, sealed off 1 player, pulled it down with her hand, and then somehow gets a shot off, almost a behind-the-back pass, if you will, but it goes into a shot and it dumps in. And that really changed. That's when I thought the spark started for this team of trying to make that comeback.
Well, I think there was a message of there's athleticism on both sides of the ball. You know, Taliqua was a great athlete. And she's tough. I mean, she's had a child. She's tougher than you and I combined. I was happy for her to have some success. You know, she only played 9 minutes. So for her to have an impact on that game was big.
You look across the floor, and in that game at one point you had 3 kids from West Virginia Olivia Segui from West Virginia. You had Shayna Gore from Logan. You had Maddie Morris from Spring Valley. Taliqua from Huntington. Like, that's big for this entire state to look out there, and you have four Division I players from the state, and some of those coming from right here locally at home.
Yeah, I mean, at any point, there's, you know, Taylor Porter, Taliqua Hamilton, Kiana Edmonds, you know, right, and we're just talking about just West Virginia. Shayna Gore. I mean, I don't know what you're looking for in a game that's West Virginia Marshall, but it existed on Sunday in the Civic Center, and it will, for Marshall's sake, it will from here on out.
Tell me about your take on the kind of the atmosphere around that game. It was a good crowd, 31-73, the announced crowd, and it was a lot of green and white in the stands that made it a true atmosphere. And some people talking about they liked it better when the men and women played the doubleheader. But Coach Carey from WVU said he likes it as its own entity. He said, we get to be our own thing. The men get to go be their own thing, and he likes the way it sets up.
Yeah, the contingency has been great, and I think it goes to show what we're doing and how we're doing it. You know, we're not building a team. This is not about a one-year deal. This is about a program and a career and establishing a culture that will be here forever. And hopefully it's a new way of doing things for Marshall, and we can do our part.
You always hear people talk about you're remembered for how you respond after a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you've talked about it coming in. You said you know you're going to take some bumps down the road, especially with this group and the youth. You take your first bump on the road. How's practice been this week, getting focused, getting ready to, as you said, totally switch gears from a totally different game plan of what you had from West Virginia getting ready for St. Francis?
It's been good. Film wasn't easy. You know, after that game, film wasn't easy, but it was necessary. And what is necessary is very rarely easy. And it's they responded in practice yesterday pretty well. Had another good practice today. We'll go tomorrow and play against a St. Francis team that they've won one or two games, but you know they score it. You know, it's like going to be like Moorhead, and that just when you play with no conscience, it's going in. It's, you know, half their shots are threes, and they spread the floor, and they either drive it or, you know, they're getting to the free throw line or they're shooting a three, and that's just dangerous. And it's a dangerous time of year when kids are starting to think about going home. And so we'll have to be really, really locked in to be able to come out with a win.
Well, and you talk about film. For a lot of these players, coming to college is the first time that they're almost forced to sit down, watch film, see what they did right, what they did wrong, and hearing that word constructive criticism, to where a lot of them say, well, you're just telling me what I messed up on. And it's really not. It's showing them what they did, how they do it better, and what makes them as a better player.
Yeah, we didn't show them just things they messed up on. We showed them good plays, too, and now we can we're not a beat-you-down program. That's not who we are by any stretch of the imagination. And when you hear those things, they're hard sometimes. But what you have to understand is the people that you can count on are the people in that room. Nobody else is here every day. You know, nobody else has the same goal. Everybody in that room has the exact same goal: be as successful as possible as a team. And if you keep that in mind, then you can grow from it. And if you don't, you know, selfishness can creep in, or pride can creep in, but the acronym for pride, personal responsibility, and daily effort, you know, and guts, genuine urge to succeed. If you keep that pride and those guts in mind, then you'll be better for it.
How do you take this game and put it in perspective going down the road as you get ready for conference play coming up after the first of the year, of lessons that are learned and how this team responded to adversity in an unfriendly environment, if you will, on the road, but you still take that and you get ready for going into conference play? How do you set that up?
Yeah, you know, that was more like a conference game. And I think our kids liked it, and I wasn't sure if they would or not. You know, that's what you don't know about your youth, but I think that they like that environment, and that's going to be that's a little bit more like what we're going to see in Conference USA. It's going to be more of a slugfest type of deal, and we've just got to figure out on stretches how to continue to score the ball and how to be disciplined on defense, and if we'll do that, we'll be in games, and then we'll see what happens at the end of them.
We're up against our first break. We'll take it now. We return. We'll set up this Thursday afternoon's contest, St. Francis. Have a question for the coach, 855-345-4709. Hit us on Twitter, call your SC Live. We're back right after this on 88.1 WMUL.
The worldwide leader of Marshall University sports coverage.
Ooh, takes it away. He has a two-on-one. Gets it up to Kelly, and Kelly slams it home off the right side.
Gordon kicks it to Matt Freeman, and Freeman spots up and scores. Matt Freeman, golden goal for the Herd, and the Herd is still alive.
Quarter spot up three. That's on the way. In and out of the cylinder, no good. But Scott with the follow, the finish, and the foul. Down to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, the 10, 5, touchdown, Thundering Herd. A 93-yard kickoff return for the redshirt senior, DeAndre Reeves.
Close to send it near side in the near side corner, and it's a goal in the win for Marshall.
1-2 delivery on the way. This one's set for a ride. Dropping back at the wall. Northley looks up. Watch it. Fly it down to here. A home run. A walk-off two-run bomb from Emily Cooper.
WMUL-FM, Huntington.
Back inside the studios here for another edition of Be Heard Basketball with Thundering Herd head coach Matt Daniel. 855-345-4709. That's number to the hotline for a question for coach. You can also tweet us at Call Your SZ Live. Questions and comments. Coach, back at it this Thursday. It's a high noon midday matinee game over in the Cam Henderson Center, and you bring in St. Francis, a team that you said really looks a lot like Morehead State, and that was a game that was the first game of the season, a 104-101 victory for the Thundering Herd. But you do have one team on the schedule that you do share, Cornell, that you have played. What do you look and see in that game film and take away from that of how this team sets up and what you have to do to beat them?
Well, not even Cornell. Now, I'm watching the Ohio game, which, you know, Ohio beat them pretty handily. But and everybody's going to be like, okay, it's Ohio, and they beat them pretty good. But so they're doing comparative scoring too. That's not what coaches look at. I'm looking at the fact they run the same offense. So Ohio is aware of all those intimately, all those tendencies and all that, so they can adjust their defensive scheme based on what they know about their offense. And we don't really know about their offense. We scout, but we don't know it intimately. We don't know what a read it looks like for them. So it's a little bit more about that, and we're gonna have to be really focused and make some in-game adjustments as we see what they're looking to do against us, and not just what they've done against other opponents.
This team starts with Jessica Kovac. She's averaging 23 points per contest. The next closest to her 9.5. You have a player come in that she likes to get the basketball in the air. She shot 149 field goal attempts. The next closest one to her, 69. How important is it to go in and try to take the basketball away from her and force someone else to beat you?
It's important, and we're capable of doing that. We've done that already. But it's important that we do that on that day and whoever that matchup is. We're capable of doing it, but you also have to go out and do it again and again and again and again, because if you got a kid that's going to shoot the ball 25 times a game, you better not take a possession off, because all it takes one is to get feeling pretty good. And we saw that against, I can't remember who it was, maybe NJIT. They kind of got started, and she got on a hot streak, and we had to really amp
it
up.
Yeah, that was. She came off. She
five threes in the first quarter. And I'm sitting here thinking,
she was shooting threes off the bus.
I didn't see that coming, and I thought it might work out because of the law of averages. But you know, then you have to bow your neck even more, and you don't want them to get their head up and think that they can play with you. So we'll have to be, pretty locked in.
When you prepare for a team like that, is it more difficult to prepare knowing that you've got one shooter that can score the basketball in Groves, or is it more difficult to prepare when you have a team that's just kind of evenly across the keel?
If it's not a motion offense, which they run a motion offense, where I can tell you what pattern they're going to run, it doesn't bother me as much. They're not a pattern. They're a potent, poisonous, nasty motion, shoot it as soon as you're open, no conscience, and that concerns me. So ebbs and flows, pros and cons, I can make it do whatever you want me to make it do as far as spinning it, but they're dangerous, make no mistake about that, and they're a worthy opponent.
And when you talk about a motion offense, you get a lot of screens. You're trying to get a lot of people open into that open court. How much do you go through this and tell your players? Are you going with help side defense? Are you going to switch on the screens because of the ability of people getting open and launching it? And how much do you have to be aware of those mismatches if you do go on the switch?
We're going to mix it up. We're going to mix it up, and they're going to try and get to the free throw line and shoot threes. And so you've got to be in good help side defense, but you've got to be in help side defense and aware of shooters as well. So it's dangerous, especially when they do that every day. Like, they're really comfortable doing that. It's not like they're going to adjust to doing something that you're adjusting to. They're going to play how they play, and that's the dangerous part of it.
On the backside of that, something that sets up well for your team is this team has attempted 557 field goals, 250 of those coming from long range. And you said it well in the before the show. You said a long shot equals a long rebound on a missed shot. That also sets you up for that rebound out quick to transition. And does that really set this team up to run the floor like you like to go?
I hope so. It'll be more entertaining that way, and I think our offense will be better for that. And if there's long rebounds, that means they're missing shots, and I think that gives us a better shot to win the game.
What's one thing that you want to see your team grow from the West Virginia game after this St. Francis game that they need to get better moving forward?
I want to come out hungry. If we'll come out hungry, I think we'll be okay. But I don't want to come out with a hangover of playing West Virginia or getting your first loss or whatever that might be.
Who's a player that so far through these first seven games that is a player that has really stepped up and you said, okay, they have the potential of doing something great here. They're doing it something great right now.
You know, I think it's been different just about every time Talequa, you know, in one play, we're talking about one play, Talequa made a great play the other day that made a huge impact on the game at West Virginia. Shayna Gore in her first game has 27. Taylor Porter, I mean, she's as feisty as you can get. We obviously know about Leah and Riri. Kiana Evans. Kiana Evans hasn't played in 2 years, essentially. Been on her roster, hasn't played. She's impacting the game very, very seriously. Guarded Bria Holmes the other day, who's an award candidate, like a national award candidate, and did a great job on her. So it's somebody different every night. Somebody different every night.
How does that kind of affect teams having to prepare for you with – you go down that roster and you can go 8-9 deep. No matter who's on the floor, and there's somebody out there that can play defense, they can get after the basketball, and they can also score the rock.
I'm not afraid to put anybody we have on our roster on the floor. I think that some are more ready than others. Everybody on our roster can play, every single one of them. Some of them are more ready now. So that's the hope. I mean, you know, the way we play, I would like to be everybody to be as concerned as we are about, you know, their player from St. Francis. I don't know her name. I just know her number, 23, about different players on our roster. And I think the more of those you have, the more dangerous you are, the more versatile you are. And we don't have a superstar program. We don't run a superstar program. We run a program where everybody can get rich. And it's going to be somebody that finds a pot of gold at the end of the night, and it's going to be somebody different every night.
You bring in Maddie Morris early in the game against West Virginia. She goes out and gives you some good minutes on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that you saw from her that said, okay, today is the day I've got to go with Maddie, and she goes in and really fills in that hole that Talequa left after picking up that early second foul?
Well, we had to get Chelsea a blow. We couldn't come back with Talequa. And with what we had to do with the size of Montgomery, there's just no back down or no rattle in Maddie. You know, the game wasn't going to be too fast. It was going to be more of a grind out. And I change sometimes between her and Kadasia, and sometimes it's just kind of hit or miss on who's performed the 2 days prior the best, and in our opinion. And that's based on a number of metrics and a lot of feel. So I was comfortable with her. I thought it was good for her. I thought it was good for Kadasia. You know, I would have liked to have got some of those other ones in, but I'm also trying to win the game, you know. And I just think we'll be better for it.
How important to you do you feel that keeping that series with WVU is to not only the schools but also the state?
You know, I think that's for somebody else to decide. You know, I joked last week about running for governor. Well, I joked after the game that since we lost that I was removing my name from that race and I was going to focus more on basketball. And, you know, I don't really think it matters what I think about it. I don't think much about it. You know, I leave that to the powers that be. I've got my hands full with, you know, academics and yada, 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 which we got grades today.
That's where I was headed next.
We're above a 3.0 again with this crew, and didn't have one kid in study hall, and our team GPA is above a 3.0, and we're 6-1. You know, there are sometimes it's like, and I don't mean this in a sexist manner, but there, you know, you had buddies growing up, and you're wanting to set them up with somebody, and they go, okay, how's she look? And you say, well, she's got a great personality. Isn't that what Andy Taylor used to say that?
Oh, yeah, she has a great personality.
You know, he used to say that to Barney. Sometimes when you talk about academics, well, we don't have anything to talk about basketball-wise, so let's talk about academics. Let's talk about our personality. We've got a little bit of both going on. And that's the sign that you can tell that we've made leaps and bounds into the stratosphere of where this thing can go.
Well, you get a kind of a special time over these next 3 weeks to where academics are on hold in between the semesters. You just get to deal with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
How fun is that for you as a coach, to where you don't have to worry about the classroom? You can just have the players focusing on everything that you want to accomplish before you get ready to start conference play.
Well, I really like that for them because academics are so important to them that finals is really stressful. And the 2 weeks before finals is really stressful. So there's a week. So I like the fact that they can breathe and be about as normal as you can possibly be, where you just get to show up and play ball, as close to the normal student as possible. Now, the flip side of that is they're not going to class, and so they're still not in a normal flow of what a normal student life is like, and balance is important to me. So, but I really like that for them as much as I do me. So if they get a chance to take a breath, try and enjoy the holidays and enjoy the game.
Thursday afternoon, 12 o'clock tip-off, 11:30 pregame show between Marshall and St. Francis. You can hear it all right here on The Cutting Edge. Coach, you go out, first stop, first bucket. Where do you go from there?
Hopefully those go our way, and I'm doing a whole lot of clapping and not a whole lot of stomping.
We'll have all the action. Coach, always a pleasure. This will be our final show until after the turn of the new year because of Christmas holiday coming up. So, but we will see you at the arena Thursday morning.
Happy holidays, and we'd like to have you out. We got 3 home games before Christmas, so we'd love to have everybody out. And it's a group that you can come help win and not just hope they win.
And they play this Thursday, then they'll play again Sunday, and then close it out Tuesday next week, and that'll be the final games before the Christmas holiday. That's going to do it for us here tonight, so greatly appreciate our producer coming in, Braxton Chris, tonight, Scott Hall. From the Sports Information Office, Head Coach Matt Daniel, I'm James Collier, saying good night, and we will talk to you Thursday morning from the Cam Henderson Center. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Be Heard with Thundering Herd Head Coach Matt Daniel. Tune in again every Tuesday evening at 5:30 for another edition of Be Heard.
Center of the Thundering Herd universe. We are the student broadcast voice of Marshall University, WMUL-FM, Huntington.